Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Let's continue with our teaching titled, The Prayers That Reach the Throne of God, which we started on May 1st. Most Christians know that praying should be part of our life, but there are far too many who do not understand how to pray effectively, and as a result, they blame God when their prayers go unanswered, or say that the Holy Scriptures do not work. I know from personal experience that the outcome of unanswered prayers can devastate a Christian and cause that person to backslide into sin. This is one reason that our God says that His people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Listener, pay close attention to what I'm about to say. We have the knowledge available to us in the Holy Bible. However, if we do not diligently study God's word and then apply the truth to our life, we allow Satan to destroy us because we are operating in ignorance of God's promises. It is for this reason that this teaching is designed to explain in detail how to pray effectively. We will be examining why it is important to pray daily and which type of prayer to use for the specific challenge we are facing. I will be identifying 9 different types of prayers that are in the Bible for God's people to use and how to use them correctly, whereupon guaranteeing that your prayer will be heard by our Heavenly Father and your need met each and every time you pray. Keep in mind that God has told us in His holy word to come boldly to His throne of grace to find help in the time of need. Our Heavenly Father wants to hear from us and supply all of our needs when we approach His throne according to His word. This study will consist of 10 parts. An introduction, part 1, the prayer of agreement, part 2, petition prayer, part 3, intercessory prayer, part 4, anointing with oil, part 5, laying on of hands. All of these parts we have completed thus far. Part 6, Gifts of Healings, which we started last week. Part 7, the prayer of praise and worship. Part 8, special anointings. And part 9, the prayer of consecration and dedication. You will find out from this teaching that each of these types of prayers have clear biblical rules that we must follow if we want our prayers answered. God's biblical rules for praying gives us specific instructions on what to say and which type of prayer we should use for the challenge at hand. When you pray according to the appropriate biblical rules in faith, you will never again wonder if God heard you or if you will receive the petition of your prayer. In short, your prayer life will not only increase in victories, but bring you the perfect peace of God that surpasses all understanding while you wait in faith for the manifestation of your petition. We welcome our first-time listeners and encourage you to go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the first episodes of this teaching, now archived under our radio broadcast page. We do not want you to have a gap of information regarding this important teaching. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. Please note that for this teaching, I will be quoting from the Amplified Study Bible, unless otherwise stated. Now, before I ran out of time last week, I was sharing with you the first set of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's finish this set of gifts of utterance by examining prophecy, which is the last gift that says something. Again, prophecy, This is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue to the hearers. Prophecy under the New Testament is to exhort, edify, and comfort. Not more than 2 to 3 people should prophesy. Under the Old Testament, it was for foretelling the future. Please turn to 1 Corinthians 14, verses 27 through 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting with verse 27. It says, "If anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be limited to 2 or at the most 3, and each one speaking in turn, and one must interpret what is said. But if there is no one to interpret, the one who wishes to speak in a tongue must keep silent in church. Let him speak to himself and to God." Verse 29, "Let 2 or 3 prophets speak as inspired by the Holy Spirit, while the rest pay attention and weigh carefully what is said." All right, family, let's go back to verse 27. I want to highlight some very important phrases to help us stay focused on how the word or gift of prophecy can assist us as Christians. First, we are instructed that we have to limit the word of prophecy to 2 or 3 at the most. The end of verse 27 says, "And each one speaking in turn, and one must interpret what is said." That's the important key. First, we don't want to go beyond 3 individuals. And then secondly, we want to make sure that there will be an interpretation so that the people who are there hearing the prophecy can understand what is being said. Verse 28, it says, "But if there is no one to interpret," then the last part of that verse says, "that individual must keep silent in church." In other words, it would do us no good to hear a word of prophecy in an unknown language because we won't understand what the Holy Spirit is telling us. So that individual, if they don't have the interpretation and no one else can do the interpretation, they must hold that word to themselves. And then in verse 29, it says, "The rest pay attention. Those that are hearing must pay attention and weigh carefully what is said." I know in my previous church in California, the pastor always took the responsibility to evaluate the word of prophecy to determine whether it was of the Lord or if it was just of the spirit of the person speaking. And they would give what I call quote unquote judgment. All right. Example. Here's an example in my life of this very gift of prophecy. Pastor John and I traveled to the Philippines on a missionary trip some years back. And on our trip, while Pastor was ministering to the saints, he felt led to lay hands on those in need. As Pastor was praying over the members, he began to prophesy over a young lady who had backslid into sin. Pastor had never seen her before or knew anything about her background. He received from the Holy Spirit a supernatural exhortation to speak into her life. She was thankful and blessed because of the words spoken over her. Again, my husband, Pastor John McIntosh, was ministering, and as he was ministering to the people in the Philippines, the Holy Spirit gave him a word of prophecy for this young lady. And it was to get her back into the body of Christ. And she was blessed as a result. Now, the second set of gifts is the gifts of power. They do something. First one is special faith. That is a supernatural utterance or desire by an individual or spoken by God that eventually comes to pass. The person receives a miracle. That is the gift of special faith. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Galatians 3, 5. It says, "So then, does he God who supplies you with his marvelous Holy Spirit and works miracles among you, do it as a result of the works of the law which you perform, or because you believe confidently in the message which you heard with faith. Here is the key. Because the scripture asks the question, but within the question, the answer is given. Again, we're talking about special faith. It says, because you believe confidently in the message which you heard with faith. Here's an example of what I'm speaking of. Many of you are familiar with Dr. Jerry Savelle's ministry. He is a well-known minister of the gospel and once told us in a faith convention of how God blessed him with a large piece of property that was out of his financial means. Dr. Savelle was looking for property to establish his ministry headquarters and had seen a large piece of land that was for sale, but more costly than he could afford at that time. God told him that this property would be his and he would pay what he wanted to pay for it if he would only stand in faith. Dr. Savelle believed God and spoke in faith ownership over this land. It took several years to get the property, as the land was sold to various companies who lost the property for various reasons. Ultimately, the property was foreclosed on by the IRS. And it was the IRS who offered the property to Dr. Savelle for whatever he felt was a reasonable sales price. Dr. Savelle made an offer in an amount he wanted to pay, according to God's promise, and it was accepted to the delight of Jerry Savelle's ministry. This is an example of special faith. The property was well over the value that he offered, and yet as a result of God's promise, IRS was and did accept that offer. Number two, gifts of healings. This is supernatural healings without natural means from any source. Now, there are many recorded healings in the book of Acts, which are excellent examples of healings or gifts of healings. However, I want to focus on only one such healing. Please turn to Acts chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 8 and then verse 16. Again, gifts of healings, which are supernatural healings without any natural means. Acts 3, starting with verse 1, says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, 3 p.m. And a man who had been unable to walk from birth was being carried along, whom they used to sit down every day at that gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, so that he could beg alms from those entering the temple. So when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking them for coins." Verse 4. "But Peter, along with John, stared at him intently and said, 'Look at us.' And the man began to pay attention to them, eagerly expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name, authority, power of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, begin now to walk and go on walking.' Verse 7. Then he seized the man's right hand with a firm grip and raised him up. And at once his feet and ankles began strong and steady. Last verse, verse 8. And with a leap he stood up and began to walk. And he went into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God." Family, this is an awesome example of gifts of healings, where God's people, we're talking about Peter and John, were used as a result of the leading of the Holy Spirit to bring life back into this man's body. So let's start at verse number 2, just to remind you of how miraculous this situation was. It says, "A man who had been unable to walk from birth." So this man was born deformed. He didn't have the use of his legs. Verse 3. But notice that when Peter and John went by, he began asking them for coins, as his usual routine was. In other words, the reason he was at the temple gate was to beg, to get some money so that he can continue to supply the needs that he had, because he could not work for those coins. Number 5, the last part says, eagerly expecting to receive something from them. Now, Peter and John got his attention, and this man looked at Peter and John expecting to receive something. You know, family, this man was expecting to receive some money, but God had something better for him. He was going to perform a special healing so that this man could regain the ability that he should have had from birth. Verse 6. Now I'm going to reread that whole scripture, because we need to open ourselves up and allow the Holy Spirit to use us when he sees fit for this very purpose. It says, but Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. Now, I'm going to put a little pin there. I may get some, individuals who will disagree with me, but I want to point out this. First of all, Peter and John probably saw him in previous times sitting at that gate begging, because Peter and John were worshiping the Lord. But they said, silver and gold I do not have. I don't think that they were empty in pocket. I think what they realized was that silver and gold was not going to help this man from his situation. Just giving him money was not going to make him walk. But notice that it says, but what I do have, I give to you. So what did Peter and John have? They had a word of gifts of healings to speak into this man's life. And so it says, in the name, authority, power of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, begin now to walk and go on walking. So they put a demand in the spirit realm by the leading of the Holy Spirit, and they spoke life to this man's body. Verse 7, last part of that verse, the last sentence says, and at once his feet and ankles became strong and steady. Last verse, I'm going to reread the whole verse. It says, and with a leap he stood up and began to walk, and he went into the temple with them, walking and leaping. And notice that he did not praise Peter and John, but he praised the living God, because that's where our help comes from. Amen. Now let's drop down to verse 16 and see who is responsible for this supernatural healing. Just in case you did not catch it with verse 8, verse 16 says, and on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. And the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health and complete wholeness in your presence. Now, for those of you that have read this passage in the past, know that there was much to do about this healing. And the people came against Peter and John. But Peter and John said, it wasn't us, it was the living God. Again, verse 16 says, and on the basis of faith in his name, whose name? The name of Jesus, which has strengthened this man whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through him has given him, Jesus the Christ gave him, this perfect health and complete wholeness in your presence. Amen and amen. Let's continue with the second supernatural healings, which is working of miracles. Working of miracles. A supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature. A temporary suspension of the accustomed order. In this case, the person works a miracle. All throughout the New Testament are recorded working of miracles. Example of such miracles includes the raising of the dead, the blind seeing, hearing restored, people cleansed from leprosy and alike. Let's read from Mark chapter 4, verses 37 through 39. Mark 4, starting with verse 37. It says, "And a fierce windstorm began to blow, and waves were breaking over the boat, so that it was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep with his head on a sailor's leather cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are about to die?'" Verse 39. "And he," Jesus, "got up and sternly rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Hush, be still.' And the wind died down as if it had grown weary. And there was at once a great calm, a perfect peacefulness." Family, we got this same authority and power and dominion that Jesus gave us when we received him as Savior and Lord. So we can operate in this kind of authority. But let's go back to verse 38 and read just a few phrases so that we can get a clear understanding of the authority and power in the name of Jesus. It says in verse 38, these were the disciples speaking to Jesus, "Teacher, do you not care that we are about to die?" Now, Jesus had already told the disciples that they were going to the other side, and yet the disciples were fearful. But verse 39 says, "And he," Jesus, "got up and sternly rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Hush, be still.' And the wind died down as if it had grown weary. And there was at once a great calm, a perfect peacefulness." So family, when we hear about the dead earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, or any other evil natural disasters, we need to speak to them and demand that they stay calm. This is the authority and power that Jesus has given us. Now, the last three gifts are the gifts of revelation. They reveal something. The first one is discerning of spirits. It gives supernatural insight into the spirit realm. Please turn to Acts chapter 16. We're going to read verses 16 through 18. Acts 16, starting with verse 16, says, "It happened that as we were on our way to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination, that is, a demonic spirit claiming to foretell the future and discover hidden knowledge. And she brought her owners a great profit by fortune telling. She followed after Paul and us and kept screaming and shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God. They are proclaiming to you the way of salvation.'" Verse 18. "She continued doing this for several days. Then Paul, being greatly annoyed and worn out, turned and said to the spirit inside her, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, as his representative, to come out of her.' And it came out at that very moment." Discerning of spirits. You know, this woman was telling the truth in that the men that she was speaking or shouting after were men of God. And they were speaking about salvation. But Jesus does not need some evil spirit proclaiming the good news. That's our job as Christians. Notice in verse 16, the last part or the middle part of that verse says, "A slave girl who had a spirit of divination," that is a demonic spirit, it was not of God, "claiming to foretell the future and discover hidden knowledge." That was her gift, and she was using it or misusing it for the profit of some. Verse 17, this is what the demonic spirit was saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God. They are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." But Paul said, "Enough of that. We don't need no demonic spirit talking on our behalf." So he said in verse 18, last part of the verse,
It said, he turned and said to the spirit inside her, not the woman, but the spirit. He spoke directly to the demonic spirit. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ as his representative to come out of her. And it came out at that very moment. Amen and amen. Let's go on to word of wisdom. It is the supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of future facts in the mind and will of God. Let's turn to Acts chapter 21. We're going to read verses 10 and 11. Acts 21, starting with verse 10, it says, as we were staying there for some time, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Verse 11, and coming to see us, he took Paul's wide band, belt, sash, and bound his own feet and hands and said, this is what the Holy Spirit says. In this same way, the Jews in Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this band and they will hand him over to the Gentile pagans. Oh, I'm so sorry, family. My time is up. But please return next week as we continue with our teaching, the prayers that reach the throne of God.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.